Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 18, Lord Rama Dev, the Dwarf, Incarnation, text number. We'll just read the verse, we'll just read the translations because there's no purports until text number 5. The body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blackish in complexion, was free from all inebrieties. His lotus feet, face decorated with earrings resembling sharks appeared very beautiful. And on his bosom was a mark of Shivatsa. He wore bangles on his wrists, armlets, and on his arms. A helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle bells decorating his lotus feet. An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom, and because the flowers are extremely fragrant, a large group of bees, making their natural humming sounds, invaded them for honey. When the Lord appeared wearing the Kaustubha gem on his neck, his effulgence vanquished the darkness in the home of the Prajapati Kasyapa. At that time, there was happiness in all directions, in the reservoirs of water, like the rivers and oceans, and in the core of everyone's heart. The various seasons displayed their respective qualities, and all living entities in the upper planetary system, in outer space, and on the surface of the earth were jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the Brahmins, and the hills and mountains were all filled with joy. Text number 5. Shronayam Shravana Dvadasyam Muhurte Vijiti Prabhu Sarve Nakshatra Taradyas Chakshrus Tajjanma Dakshinam. Shravanayam. When the moon was situated in the Shravana Luna Mansion, Shravana Dvadasyam, on the 12th lunar day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, the day famous as the Shravana Dvadasi, Muhurte, in the auspicious moment, Abhijiti, in the first portion of the Shravana Luna Mansion, known as the Abhijit Nakshatra, and in the Abhijit Muhurta, occurring at midday. Prabhu, the Lord, Sarve, all, Nakshatra, stars, Tara, planets, Adya, beginning with the sun and followed by the outer planets, Chakru, made, Tat Janma, the birthday of the Lord. Dakshinam, very munificent. Everyone knows what that means. You know what it means? I know what it means. Do you know what it means? Who knows what munificent means? Do you know Bhakti and Gabriel? What's that? No. He's generous. Generous. After all, the word is dakshinam. What does dakshinam mean? What's that? You know, you give some dakshin, you give some contribution. Translation brought by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. On the day of Shravana Dwadasi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion, Shravana, at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets from the sun to Saturn were munificently charitable. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, an expert astrologer, explains the words nakshatra taradya. The word nakshatra means the stars. The word tara in the context refers to the planets, and adaya means the first one specifically mentioned. Among the planets, the first is Surya, the sun, not the moon. Therefore, according to the Vedic version, the modern astronomer's proposition that the moon is nearest to the earth should not be accepted. The chronological order in which people all over the world refer to the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, corresponds to the Vedic order of the planets, and thus circumstantiates the Vedic version. Apart from this, when the Lord appeared, the planets and stars became situated very auspiciously, according to astrological calculations, to celebrate the birth of the Lord. On the day of the Shravana Dwadasi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion, Shravana, at the auspicious moment, Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance, very auspicious, all the stars and planets from the sun to Saturn were munificently charitable. There are several things we can note in this verse. First thing is that Krishna consciousness is not outside this material existence. In other words, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says that, just listen, first, in the beginning of the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wants us to hear. And it just so happens this verse mentions Shravana, the nakshatra Shravana, which is the nakshatra dedicated to hearing. So hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So Krishna is saying, we should learn how to hear. Hearing is an art. There's a difference between hearing and just, I guess, hearing or listening. Listening is when you're actually paying attention to what you're hearing. And how do we know if we're paying attention to what we're hearing? Does anyone know? Yes. Yeah, let's start with, we can remember, if we can hear something, we can remember it. And if we can remember it, then we can try to assimilate it. We can try to understand it. We can remember it in relation to other things we remember and see, try to understand what it actually means. In other words, actually see it, what it's talking about. Not that we hear something, even we remember it like a parrot and we repeat it like a parrot. And we don't understand it like a parrot doesn't understand it. It just repeats it. So we have to see it with our eyes, with our intelligence. And then, of course, if we actually see it, it's assumed that we're going to put it into practice. Now that we learn that all living entities are part of Krishna and we don't like it, we understood it, and therefore we try to forget it. No, we should actually try to, when we see it, then we should try to act accordingly. And here, the next verse Krishna says, Maya Sakta, when the mind actually becomes attached to to Krishna, maya sakmanak parata yogam yunjan mayashrayaha, by practice of the yoga system. Yoga yunjan marash, by taking shelter of Krishna. So it is not that we're in the spiritual world right now and we're going to take shelter of Krishna in the spiritual world. We happen to be in the material world, in case anyone has not noticed. And this is the place where we have to learn how to take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have so many stories about devotees, pure devotees, and all the troubles they went through, and how they took shelter of Krishna, from the Pandavas, to Prahlad Maharaj, to Dhruva Maharaj, so many problems. So it wasn't, we have stories only about the spiritual world, where in the Goloka Vrindavan, there are no real problems, except for maybe Krishna's, Radharani's mother-in-law trying to stop Radharani from seeing Krishna. That's the only problem. It appears to be a big problem in the spiritual world, because if you don't have any big problems, little problems, so-called problems become bigger problems. And for Srimati Radharani, if she can't see Krishna, it's a big, big problem. We should try to get such big problems. In any case, here in the material world, we have to take shelter of Krishna, Marashaya, take shelter of Krishna, Yogam Yunjan Marashaya, by the practice of the yoga system, hearing, chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna, Asamshayam, so we can become free from our doubts. What is our doubt? Free from this bodily identification and actually realizing our spiritual identity in relation to Krishna and everyone else. Samsham, yata gyasasi tatshino. And this is possible by hearing. Of course, we're trying to hear. We shouldn't think, if we actually heard, then we'd be seeing Krishna everywhere. So we have a little practice to do. But if we hear the best we can, we remember the best we can, we try to see the best we can, we put into practice the best we can. In other words, Krishna recommends with tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam, steadiness and enthusiasm, or care and attention. If we put into practice these teachings with care and attention, then didami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna gives us spiritual intelligence so we can actually see things properly, and therefore we can act properly. Now, then Krishna says, Gyanam deham savi gyanam idam vaksham yasheshataha yajgyatva neha bunyanya katavyam avishishate. Now I'm going to explain to you about all this knowledge, all knowledge, both phenomenal and nominal, both in the spiritual world and in the material world. Bhumirapanalo vayu kamano buddha evacha ahankar iti yami bina prakriti ashita. Earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These are my separated energies. So everything we see around us is actually coming from Krishna. It is not simultaneously one, but different from Krishna. So we're in Krishna's energy. We're not in just a material world. We're in a Krishna's energy, and the material world for us means a material concept of life. We think something's apart from Krishna. We don't see its connection with Krishna. Therefore, we think it's material. It is material. It's one of Krishna's energies, called the material energy, but it's non-different from Krishna also. Just like heat and light are non-different from fire, although neither heat nor light are actually fire. They're simultaneously one but different. And then Krishna says, Etad yoni bhutani sarvadit nipidaira aham krishnava jagata aparemitastvamyam prakriti vidimeparam jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam dharite jagat. There's another energy here, ourselves. We're here also. Welcome. We're here and we're a different energy than the material energy. But we're in the material energy right now. And then beyond the material energy, the control of both material and the spiritual energy is Krishna. So nothing is outside of Krishna, and therefore there are so many Vedic sciences based upon the very basic conceptions that Krishna gives, like earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, the presence of the soul, the controlling power of the super soul. And here, astrology is a science dealing with how the living entities in conditioned life are being controlled. And there's an order to it. And either the Vedic literature is correct, or the so-called, or the materialistic speculative scientists are correct with their imperfect senses. Therefore, Prabhupada sometimes gives emphasis upon the fact that the first planet is the sun, that the sun is closest to the earth. And then comes the moon. Now people in general will think that we're crazy. Of course they think we're crazy anyhow. A person who's in the material conception of life thinks we're crazy. And we think they're crazy. So Prabhupada wrote a pamphlet from the very beginning, Who's Crazy? And we have proof that they're crazy. Not that we're not crazy, but at least we know that they're crazy. Because we know that we ourselves, and they also are identifying themselves with their ever-changing material body, but we ourselves are not changing. So symptom of our craziness is that anyone who identifies or misidentifies themselves with their gross and subtle body is crazy. In the same way, if I claimed I was Napoleon right now, or Jesus Christ, people will think I was crazy if I was serious about it. Because I'm thinking myself to be someone I'm not. So we're also thinking ourselves to be something we're not, namely this body. So we're also crazy. And the Hare Krishna movement is meant to bring people to sanity. And part of that sanity is we have to accept the Vedic version so that we can work in harmony with Krishna's plan. And therefore Krishna has given us so many sciences in order to keep healthy, such as Ayurveda, to understand what to do next if we can't figure out what's auspicious and what's inauspicious to do. Krishna has given us astrology, or Jyotirveda, to see with the eyes. Those who live in this material world have to make practical decisions. Jyotish or astrology was guiding the Brahmins, they were guiding the kings. And even we find here Krishna appeared according to the certain auspicious moments. Or here it says that the planets are under Krishna's control, and at an auspicious moment when Krishna appeared, then they align themselves appropriately to welcome Krishna. Or to welcome Vamanadeva. They welcome Lord Ramachandra at an auspicious time. They welcome Lord Chaitanya at an auspicious time. They welcome Lord Krishna at an auspicious time. One can understand the pastimes and activities of Krishna and all his incarnations by astrology. So astrology can give us the future pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to speak of ordinary persons. Now, it is not that every Vedic science has been properly utilized. Prabhupada writes in the first canto, because when Pariksha Maharaj was born, he was immediately Yudhisthira Maharaj, who's no fool, not a sentimentalist, he called for the expert astrologers who did Jataka astrology to ascertain whether this child would be a worthy descendant of the Yadu dynasty, of the Pandava dynasty, one of the Kauravas, I guess the Pandavas. And they did his astrological chart as soon as he was born, and they gave so many predictions that this boy would be a great king. But at a certain time of his life, he'd be cursed by a Brahmin and bitten by a snake bird and go back to Godhead. And then Prabhupada writes that even when I was born, that the astrologers predicted that I'd cross over the ocean and open up 108 temples. Bhrigu Samhita. So Prabhupada was quite impressed by astrology. But Prabhupada also wrote that misuse of a great science doesn't make it useless. It's not that every Ayurvedic doctor, any kind of doctor, that if they misuse the science, then that doesn't mean that the science is useless. It means that the person who's misusing the science is useless. So it's a great science, Ayurveda, astrology, Dhanur Veda, Shilpa Veda, architecture. They're all great sciences, Vastu, but they have to be utilized properly. And the proper utilizing them is to help one progress in spiritual life, or at least progress towards spiritual life. Therefore, nowadays, most people think astrology is to tell you how much wealth you're going to get, or how to get a qualified husband or a qualified wife. These things are necessary, but that's not the ultimate aim of astrology. The ultimate aim of astrology, of any Vedic science, is to make the atmosphere conducive so that we can become Krishna conscious. Part of that, of course, is the science of compatibility, which Srila Prabhupada talks about in the third canto, in the story about Kardama Muni and Devahuti, that marriage should be compatible. Otherwise, if they're incompatible and they don't work, it causes a great disturbance. And we're trying to avoid unnecessary disturbance. Of course, Prabhupada writes, if they're actually devotees, then all the relationships will be compatible. So we shouldn't immediately line up and say, I'm a devotee, therefore whoever I married, it's going to become perfect. We're aspiring to become devotees. Otherwise, then we question, so many marriages in ISKCON and so many divorces, how is it possible? Either the script probably is wrong in the third canto, or maybe we're not quite pure devotees yet. We're aspiring to become devotees, and therefore we're subjected to attachment and aversion rather than strictly devotional duty, devotional activities. In any case, we don't know. We can't take a measuring stick right now and go to the moon and the sun and declare, you know, we've measured it and we know that the sun is actually closer than the moon. And it doesn't really matter. We still have to chant 16 rounds. Even if the sun was further away than the moon, it wouldn't make any difference. We still have to chant Hare Krishna and follow the principles of devotional service. But we probably defended the Vedic version. Of course, as I said, even the so-called learned scientists, they're fools. They're on the same level as the cow or the ass, in the sense that they identify or misidentify themselves with their gross and subtle body. So they don't even know even the most first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, the most basic instruction. So why should we trust they know anything else? Basically speaking, they're always changing their opinion about everything. 1920, light was a wave. 1930, it was a particle. 1950, it was a wavicle. As I said, today, they're probably going to declare it was a popsicle. They're always changing all the time. Do you know what a popsicle is? Do you know what a popsicle is? Do you know what a popsicle is? What is it? It's kind of like a lollipop. A popsicle is like an ice cream cone. It's like an ice cream on a stick. They don't have that here in what's that? Aha. But you're from Croatia, right? They don't have ice cream in Croatia? Marozhnaya? What is ice cream here? Sladoled. They don't have that there? On a stick, you know, you get a stick and there's ice cream on it. That's called a popsicle, just to clarify. So they're always changing their opinions, their speculations. So why should we accept this? We don't have to blindly accept the Vedic version, but we shouldn't reject it either, because the scientists say so many things that are wrong. Scientists say that we're this body, but that doesn't make it right. And they say, well, what is your proof that the sun is further away than the moon? Well, that's what it looks like. To who? To me, I can't tell any difference. To me, whether one is closer than the other, I can't tell. It makes no difference. But in any case, Prabhupada points out that in practical terms, before the last 100 or so years, everyone was accepting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That there was an order to the solar system, and it wasn't Monday, Sunday, it was Sunday, Monday. And in any case, if we want to understand eventually when our society becomes more cultural, or we're actually able to regulate our senses and establish a society based upon the Vedic version, that when it's less complicated, modern society means everything's so complicated, we don't have time, we don't have choices, really. We can't decide when to do something. We're forced to do everything. Everything is being rushed, rushed, rushed. We have no time to think about what's the proper thing to do or how to do it. But in the Vedic culture, even before declaring war, the kings would consult with the astrologer, because there are times when war is appropriate, there's times and will be successful, and there's times when war will be probably unsuccessful. There are what's called cruel nakshatras, and then there is also called soft nakshatras. There are all kinds of nakshatras, stars, in which the moon can situate itself. And the mentality, when you start a war, you don't want to start with a flower and offer it to the enemy. You probably want to start with a club. So that's called a cruel nakshatra. And if you want to get married, you want to make a proposal to your wife, then you're probably in a soft nakshatra. It's probably more appropriate. So one should choose the appropriate time and place and audience so that one will more likely produce the result that one is looking for. So astrology deals with that, but nowadays we don't have so many choices. But we have some choice. And astrology won't tell us anything different from what common sense usually will tell us. At least in our practical lives, because we don't have such big, big things to do here. For instance, before one gets married, then if the husband and the wife, they agree how many children they're going to have, or they're going to try to have, where they're going to live, what kind of work they're going to have, how much money they want to make, etc., etc., it's much more likely to work out compatible, even if you do an astrological chart, and then you get married and you find out, my wife wants 5 children. I don't like children. I want to live in the temple. My wife wants to live in a palace. I want to be a pujari, and she wants me to become a lawyer. Then the marriage is not going to work out very compatible. Just a little conversation, communication beforehand, we'll probably go further than any astrological chart that's going to be made nowadays. In any case, astrology can tell us something about the future, something about and what the past held for us, what the present holds for us, what the future holds for us. So sometimes it can be used in a practical sense. But a little common sense also goes a long way. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? That was your first question. You can ask 2 questions.
Yeah, 2 questions. Thank you for your share, and I would like to ask why there are souls that are good, filled with goodness, do good, but Krishna doesn't reveal himself to them.
You have to hold the microphone close.
I'm sorry. I was wondering why there are souls that are pure and good, but Krishna doesn't reveal himself, even though they are in touch with souls that are practicing Krishna consciousness. And is how is possible to make them more enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness if they do say they kind of, it's logical, but I don't know, still not enough or what is there?
I don't know either. Every soul is pure and good.
Yeah, I know, but you know, like...
But due to association, we become, due to association with the material modes of nature, we become good or bad or in between.
It's only a decision that we make, but...
Well, due to our attachment to the material energy, being influenced by the three modes of nature, our original awareness of things has been covered. We've developed a taste for the modes of nature. Like when you're in ignorance, you like to sleep and eat.
Yeah,
when you're in passion, you like
problem,
to decorate what you're eating and sleeping. In the mode of goodness, we're trying to discover what reality is. So not everyone has a taste for discovering reality. As a matter of fact, most people have a taste for eating and sleeping, etc.
So, yeah, right.
Therefore, we try to give them some prasadam at least. So if they're going to eat, they should eat something in relation to Krishna, and maybe they might ask some question where this came from.
Yeah,
and they become a little inquisitive.
I try to give them as much as prasadam.
Yeah, well, that's all you can do.
And try to, you know, I listen to the lectures and stuff, and they listen too. But
yeah, so enough prasadam, they may ask.
Maybe in the next life.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
Dutaraya Dasa asked, by practicing chanting and hearing, one at least comes to the level of goodness and can become free from illness. Still, we can see devotees getting sick and disease comes from the lower modes of material nature. How to understand this?
This material world is known as Janma Mriti Jara Vyadi. It's a place of birth, death, old age, and disease. So disease is not bad, it's just part of the material world. Birth, death, old age, and disease is probably right in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 13th chapter, text number, at the purport at the end, he says, without the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease, there's no impetus to make spiritual advancement. So they're very auspicious for devotees because they inspire us to make spiritual advancement, go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we wouldn't be inspired like that. And disease is very important. If we get sick and we have then it's a purification process. If we know how to handle disease, then we become purified and we can correct our bad habits, our bad mentality. We can understand what the root cause of disease is. We correct it, then we also purify our existence more. So we shouldn't think that devotees should be immune from birth, death, old age, and disease. Otherwise, we'd be in this body forever, and that wouldn't be very pleasant. So death is very good if we go back to Godhead. Then we're not dying. We're taking birth in the spiritual world. We're going back to the spiritual world. So death is very auspicious for a devotee. Just like a cat, if the cat is holding its beloved kitten in its mouth, then the beloved kitten is very happy. But if the same cat is holding a rat in its house, in its mouth, then the rat's not so happy. So it depends how we see these things, as either inspiring us to go back to Krishna, or as materialists will see it, as it is an impediment for their sense gratification. Anything else? Kuala. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.